Dan Horror with your host, the Mighty Griff.
Hey everybody, it is Savage Saturday Night. This is More Horror Than Horror. Once again, I am your host, the Mighty Griff. Sitting across from me, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Tim McClaws.
Yay!
Bobby Buttholes.
Doing unmentionable things on the computer, and now Bobby, it's messed y'all up, man.
Bobby Buttholes.
Bobby. Searching for buttholes. Searching. Butthole searching on the internet. Nanny shut her down.
That swings right in with looking for love in all the wrong places.
Sure does.
Okay. Got some news for this week if everybody is listening.
Hang on to your hate. Do not buy the Saw DVD at Walmart. It's the cut version.
Oh, okay.
That's all they carry.
No unrated?
Not anywhere. Not even like you can't hardly find the unrated in Kansas City right now.
Okay. Well, don't buy the Thal DVD.
Don't do it, you bitches.
Actually, you know what? Don't buy any DVDs in the Kansas City metropolitan area unless
you go to Family Fucking Video.
No, you go over to Gladstone.
It's family time.
Go over to Gladstone. Buy them from Randy at CD Warehouse. You go over to Randy.
Let's keep this shit independent.
Don't buy them from Family Video because did you guys see what they did to Piranha? Out of all the crap unrated sex comedies and drug movies they have in there, you must be 18 to rent Piranha. I said, well, that's funny. On the back of the box, it says you only have to be 17. What are you guys above the MPAA now?
You know what they have there?
Bitches.
Megalodon.
Hoes.
Megalodon.
Megalodon.
They got the first Megalodon movie.
I'm sorry.
That's a beautiful movie, Megalodon 3.
Megalodon. All right, didn't mean to interrupt. I'll let you go.
That's okay. You know why we're excited?
Why?
Because tomorrow is...
What's tomorrow?
Sci-fi's icing on the cake, baby. You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
I don't know a damn thing what
Tiffany,
you're talking about.
Tiffany.
Deborah Gibson.
What the hell? Why?
Mega Snake.
Why?
Mega Snake versus?
Mega Piranha?
Gatorade.
Oh, Gatorade.
Gatorade.
Gaylord. Actually, you want to know something? I got
Gaylord.
I got giant. I got Mega Shark versus Crocosaurus.
Why? It's awful.
It's awesome.
God,
I love those big crazy monsters.
You know, I would too if they were in a rubber suit. I want them in a rubber suit.
If anybody's going to convert me to that,
you
want to
tell
CGI.
Me? That go back and watch movies like Tarantula with a superimposed.
I love that shit though.
Well, it's the same thing. It's
no,
just
it's
goofy
not.
CGI.
CGI sucks.
Well, that's what makes it beautiful.
And it's putting all these other guys out of business.
We can't all be Rick Bakers around this fucking
castle. Hey, do you know who directed the new Mega
whatever it is.
Mega Snake.
Mega Snake.
How about Eco
Mega Python?
Let's call it Eco Movie of the Week, okay?
Do you know who directed it?
Who?
Christopher Olin Ray. Fred Olin Ray's son.
Oh Lord.
So the second generation of B-movie directors.
You don't get pedigree like that on the Cartoon Network channel.
You may not, but you know what?
It's fucking sci-fi, Coop.
I love Fred Olen Ray, but his early movies had monsters in suits. Shall we remember Biohazard, where his son got his start?
Hey, we just, you know.
Give me a man in a suit any day.
Well, that's fine, but I happen to like him. I like the big, crazy, overly done CGI.
You have fun.
Because they are fun.
I like it because they're not. They're not trying to pull it off as
not trying to make real. They're trying to make
There's a microphone there, Griff. Stick your friggin' head on it.
I'm getting ready to drink.
It's due time.
All right.
Is it time for do?
It is always time for do.
All right.
You're anyway.
I'm just saying, instead of having some fucking retarded Smurfs running around in an Avatar jungle.
And I must say, The Asylum, which is doing these movies, along with the Sci-Fi Channel. Just keep cranking them out, baby, because if you just keep cranking them out,
I've always liked The Asylem because they're junky. I've always liked their stuff. Right. Always.
It's campy.
But I mean, they've gotten more and more reliant on CGI. When they first started, they were doing a lot of makeup stuff, like The Beast of Bray Road and all that crap. Right. I loved it.
Well, yeah, but they're knocking them out left and right. I mean, they can't sit
every 3 seconds,
and wait for...
yeah.
You've been watching that the special effects makeup thing on Sci-Fi Channel?
No. I don't watch much network TV.
Sci-Fi Channel pissed me off when they brought wrestling back on there because there's absolutely no connection.
That's TNA, man.
Sure it is. It's make-believe, just like all the shows on the Sci-Fi Channel.
There is absolutely no connection to Spock.
I'd watch fucking Ric Flair on QVC.
You enjoy that.
Woo! What, with Esteban? Drung.
Dun, 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 dun. And what's
his
name? I am
Esteban.
What's the guy with the pigtails and the big inflated calves? Tony Little.
Oh, yeah. I like watching Esteban in his 6-inch fucking pinky nail.
Hell yeah, that dude's a. You know that dude. He's a coke dealer. I don't care what anybody says.
Bet he smells like bad BO and feet.
I want to see him and Lemmy. I bet that's the same guy.
Lemmy?
Lemmy and
Esteban?
Esteban.
All right, for you out there that might be interested, we have new contact information. I don't know how many of you people out there Twitter or Twatter or Twatter or whatever in the hell it's called.
Or you can call the station. 310-928-7857.
But it's not a live show tonight, so if you call, there won't be anybody picking up the phone, and you'll just feel silly.
Todd will be here. He'll answer.
What are you getting me into, fool?
Anyway, if anybody's interested, they can follow the show on Twitter, just type in Mighty Griff, and we'll be posting information on there about the show or, you know, upcoming shows. Also, might be having some contests
that we
run
through Twitter. Hunt. Let's have a Twitter hunt.
Twitter twatter hunt?
A Twitter hunt.
Hold on 1 second, guys.
Just 1 second.
1 second.
What happened?
I got a fart.
What happened?
Are we not recording now?
Eric, are you there?
No. Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Sweet.
Sorry, I'm not trying to interrupt the other show, but the other computer wouldn't do it. It's
you're fine.
In my ass.
Go ahead.
He's got a hell of a voice.
Hello. Smooth
like you can hear all of us, can't you, there, Eric? You can hear all of us through the mixing board. We're nuts. Eric, are you still with me?
No, he hung up.
He left.
He said, I'm in the cotton candy factory.
Cotton candy. Probably thought he had the wrong number.
I'm calling him back.
This the Limp Bizkit factory. This soggy biscuits.
We're selling underwear, sir. Would you be interested in buying a pair?
Okay.
And we're back. Sorry about that. Todd had to fuck up our show for a couple of moments, but we're back now. I need to pimp our forum.
Pimp it.
We have a forum. Go to jackaloperadio.com, which if you're not there.
Or you know what you could do? Come on down.
If you're listening to us on iTunes, just go to jackaloperadio.com. In the left-hand side of the screen, go all the way down. You'll see a word that says forums. Click on that, and you'll find us amongst the barrage of other shows located on the Jackalope Radio website. And also located on the Jackalope Radio website is the schedule of all the shows and the times and days that they play throughout the week. So if you like ours, you like Pete's, you like Brad Westmar's, you're into Night Watch or Parachallenge Radio, check out some of the other ones if you're just surfing the internet, and hopefully you might find something out there that you like.
I did.
And then again, you can also find me and Tim on Facebook. Tim is under Tim McClaws. I am under...
I only use MySpace.
Mighty Griff. No, you don't.
MySpace is all I care about. There's too many viruses on Facebook.
I have never had a virus on Facebook.
There's sexual predators everywhere. I stay away from that pedophilia-filed perverts. People are always wanting me to do surveys, man. I'm like, you know.
Fuck your survey.
You know, I don't need to know.
You have one person who hates you. There's your survey.
Someone. Bobby Thu just answered a question about you.
Those are the people
really?
I delete.
Do I want to know the answer to that?
I'm kind of tired of the fucking people that show me that they're old enough to drink a beer. Look at me. I'm crazy and wacky. I'm holding
my
beer.
And they can halfway operate a camera while drinking that beer.
All right. Now let's talk about some horror movies, shall we? So we get off the rambling topic.
Oh, Lord.
Shall we talk about some horror movies, as little as there are out there? Seen anything good?
Yeah.
What have you seen?
Cold Storage. Beautiful film. I loved it.
And what is Cold Storage
about? It's
been
out 5 years, but, you know, it finally made its way to the Midwest. I'd never heard about it. I don't know about you guys.
No, I haven't.
Only a second film. Hillbillies. Hillbillies.
Hillbillies?
Dead people, car wrecks.
Oh, hell.
Combination of love at first sight.
Stick poking.
There's scenes with eggs that'll just make you cringe.
Want an omelet?
Make you cringe.
Scenes that make you want an omelet.
Straws and sunny side up.
Oh, sunny side. Actually, I have a film, but I haven't watched it yet. And I'm debating on whether or not to watch this film. Part of me wants to watch the film. The other part of me doesn't want to watch the film. But it's called a Serbian film. And as many of you probably know, you can search it and read plenty of already watched reviews of it. And you guys kind of get the reason why that I'm really not particularly too enthusiastic about watching it. But
when,
I feel like I have to watch it at least
when
once.
When numerous people say that they wish they never would have seen the movie, it makes you wonder if it's something you want to see.
Well, I've heard that the subject matter is very, very heated, I guess you could say. And it's a lot of some of the most over the top things that you have never imagined seeing in a film or in this film. Some of the most taboo topics, I guess you could say. But I've also heard, on the other hand, that the movie is so beautifully done that it kind of throws all of that out the window, so you automatically know what you're seeing is not real. So it kind of... Now, if this movie had been re-recorded on some dodgy, you know, third-generation VHS dub, and, you know, then you'd probably question what you were watching. Is it real? Is it not real? You know, type of thing. But I'm sure within time I'll get up enough nerve to watch it when I can put enough detergent in my eyes to scrub out the scenes. But as soon as I watch it, I will let you know what I think of it. It's just that I haven't gotten to that plateau yet where I want to jump off the fucking cliff. So,
well, it's almost like a challenge has been set forth. You know, I've read so much about it now.
Right.
It's been a long time. You know, and what was the last one that was that way that I mean, Human Centipede. We were just talking about it. You just picked it up.
No. To me.
Not like that, you know, but it was
well,
just
the
like,
movie, you know, a lot of times when I pick up a movie, I have a pre-cassette notion of what it's going to be in it, you know, so it's nothing new. But Hanger, I kind of knew bits and pieces of what it was going into it. But that was probably the hardest movie that I've ever actually had to sit through. I mean, I actually found myself looking for excuses to get up and leave the room. I watched it with a buddy of mine who, if you know this gentleman, he's a good friend of ours. But he's
been on.
He found a lot of it very, very amusing. And it comes out, hits you right in the fucking throat. And just as you kind of digest what you've just seen, it keeps building upon itself. I mean, just when you think you couldn't see anything more wrong, it just hits you in the throat again.
This is not necessarily an endorsement because that movie's a piece of trash,
right? And that's what I'm talking about. It's just one of those movies, it doesn't set forth any storyline. It's just how much unbelievable shit can we throw at you in an hour and a half, and how nauseated can we make you feel? You know, I mean, actually, after I got through watching Hanger, I actually felt tired. I was physically worn out from watching it just because there was just so much being thrown at me. I couldn't possibly imagine that I was watching what I was watching. And that's kind of the way I'm feeling right now with the Serbian film. There's a part of me, from being a fan, who likes to be shocked and witnessing this. But then there's that, you know, morality factor in the back of my mind that says, you know, I, you know, really don't want to see this because I'm afraid that it's going to, you know, give me this weird sense of, you know, shame, you know, shamefulness. You know, it's kind of like, do you remember the Traces of Death movies?
It's like every time we put Urban Cowboy in, I feel shameful.
I feel shameful, Stithy. But no, dude.
But you, then I put my fishnet tank but you, top on. But you and remember? It's all good.
You remember the Faces of Death movies when you first seen those?
Yeah, and you thought they were real,
right?
Man.
But you know, and then once you found out that they weren't real, you were disappointed. But then remember when Traces of Death came out, and that was the actual real news footage of, or you know, the scene with L. Bud Dwyer takes the gun and blows his brains out on, you know, during the press conference, and it shows, you know, his dead body sitting there for like 10 minutes while the blood drains from his nose. You know, there was a time when I used to sit and I'd watch those movies, those films, you know, just for hours, and it kind of desensitizes you a little bit. And after a while, I just had to quit watching them. It wasn't because I was grossed out or I was, you know, violently sick from watching. It was just, you know, there's just a part of me that is starting to die. You know, I wasn't offended by anything. Nothing made me feel, you know, I just didn't have any feelings anymore. I was just like just a zombie just watching films. You know, I was wanting more. You know, what could be more disturbing than the next scene?
And then Full House came along. Joey, you're crazy. But,
so a Serbian film is on deck. I just don't know when I'm going to watch it. I know I will watch it eventually. But it's going to be baby steps.
Baby steps.
Baby steps.
Well, it's getting into that the bunny game that I was telling you about. You know, once I started reading on it that everything in it is real. You know, all the violence towards the actors. I'm like, you know, you're kind of taking away the thrill of watching movies. That's just.
Well, I don't.
I mean, there's a. Great performance, and then there's just filming crazy
right, and I
shit.
I think a lot of that has to do
and
with,
I think the whole reality TV is just,
well, it's not so much that. It's like I've said before, I think Hollywood is dumbing down the audience. I mean, it's just like the Saw movie, you know, the last Saw movie. There was no great storyline to it. You pretty much knew what was going to happen. You knew all the fucking ins and outs. Basically, the only reason why you went and seen the last Saw movie was because of the kills. You know, it's how graphic are the kills going to be? What's going to be, you know, next? And I think a lot of times, you know, they market a lot of this stuff, and it's just tits and gore, you know, which is...
Yeah, but I kind of like... Didn't you kind of like the last Saw movie?
It was good, but I mean...
Pretty fast-paced.
But, yeah, but you weren't excited for it.
Well,
I mean,
no. You just wanted to figure it out.
You know, I mean, you didn't wait all year long. Oh, I can't wait. You know, there was no great in-depth storyline.
There are very few movies that are that way nowadays.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. I mean, there's
but
no...
But the first... Two or three, man. How much more could you ask for in a movie? I mean,
right,
great storyline.
But after a while, those movies,
yeah,
are
it's just like anything.
You
I
know,
mean, they're gonna lose their.
You know, I mean, it's just like, you know, movies like Piranha, the remake. Yeah, it's a good film. It's a good, you know, hour and a half of just, you know, blood and guts and tits and stuff. But you know, they don't see us as thinking people, you know what I mean? There's no storyline. There's no in-depth, you know. And I'm not saying a lot of horror movies are like that. But I think, you know, they just, well, let's put up an hour and a half of blood and tits. And, yeah, we'll have somewhat of a storyline, you know, make it somewhat, you know, comprehensive to the viewer. We won't really go in too depth because, you know, they're not going to be able to sit and follow, you know, the storyline of us, what's going on. But... You know, it just, nowadays, I think the shock factor, You know, I think the torture stuff, you know, came in with Hostel.
So do you think a movie like Bunny Game would, since everybody's loving the Saw stuff so much, and everybody, like you said, it's almost like everybody's just becoming numb to it.
It's
torture scenes in Saw.
Yeah, but we as a society have gotten to the point as horror fans that we're starting to desensitize ourselves to what we're seeing. It's like Tom Savini once said, you know, you don't necessarily have to see it on the screen. You actually get more of a shock factor by not seeing it and letting your mind think it's seen what you didn't see, you know. And I think now we've just come accustomed to seeing everything right out in the open. You know, we have to see the impalements. We have to see the disembowelments. We have to see the decapitations. We got to have to see, you know, torsos being ripped apart and intestines sprung across, you know, and it's gotten to the point now to where we don't want that.
See, and that's why I like that Cold Storage so much, is because it's such a jacked up storyline, but a lot of it's left to your imagination.
Right.
And,
but I mean, it's just like, you know, you go back to the Universal days, and, you know, I mean, they weren't gory, you know, they weren't trashy. You know, but then as you progress through the timeline, you come into the Hammer horror movies. Hammer introduces, you know, a little bit of blood to the classic monster tales. And then towards the end of the Hammer run, you know, they started putting in nudity. And then you come into the 60s with, you know, the Horsel Gordon Lewis stuff, where there's more of a openness, where you got more gore and more breast. And then you got into the 70s and the slashers and, you know, it was a little bit more graphic, and then the independents come in, so they had a little bit more freedom to reign, and it just kept getting more and more, and less was given to the imagination, and it wasn't like Night of the Living Dead, where you've seen a little bit, to where Dawn of the Dead, you got to see everything, you know, you got to see all the gut munching, and all the necks being ripped out, and then Eli Roth comes along, and it's torture porn. You know, you're holding people upside down and bleeding them like pigs, or you're...
Yeah, but you know, I gotta say, that was going on before Eli Roth. He's
right.
Just an extension of Three on the Meat Hook. And but ask yourself
but
something.
But it wasn't... I mean, granted, with like Last House on the Left and I Spit on Your Grave.
But ask yourself something, really. I don't agree with this whole term torture porn. It annoys the shit out of me, because there's still a lot more creativity and hard work that goes into a Hostel movie than ever goes into a porno. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's...
Look at all the makeup work and all the people who are, you know, technicians working on that movie.
But it's still...
I don't know. I think it's just an extension of things like Three on a Meat Hook and the tourist movies that we used to get in the 70s, you know. They were pretty violent for
the
time.
Yeah, but I'm talking like the scene in like I Spit on Your Grave.
Well, yeah, that's ridiculous.
When she's in the bathtub and she cuts his genitals, if they were to, you know, today, you know, right. I haven't seen the remake yet.
Comes
they
out next
cut
week.
It, they cut it off and then throw it on the ground.
Yeah,
like
they would not. They, you know, they covered it up in the bathtub with soapy
water.
Right. And
well,
the only thing you seen was the blood. Nowadays, if they were like, I know it's been remade, so I'm going to use this as an example. If they were to remake it now, she would have to cut it off, pick it up in the air, flop around, and then stick it in his mouth.
Or,
you know,
that's street trash.
Or in the case of Piranha, 3D that son of a
bitch.
Yeah,
and let
it
throw it around, you know.
But you have to ask, do you think it's because of the fact that nowadays there's so much junk on TV? Supernatural is gorier than movies at the theater. You know, there's so much. You're up against things like True Blood, which is just, it started out kind of good. Now it's just the same old. But again, it's been there, done that mentality where it's like a roller coaster. You know, you rode on the one that was 125 feet high. Now you got to go to the 300 feet high and then the 400 feet high. It's that thrill.
But the generation today, they haven't seen stuff progress like we have. They weren't there at the beginning of it and had to sit through all this stuff. You know, to them, when they first walk into a movie theater and see a horror film, boom, it's right there.
Well, truthfully, it's mostly, you know, PG-13.
So when they go,
let's be honest.
So when they go back and they accidentally pick up an older film and they watch it, they're like, "Well, how do you watch this? This is boring. You know, they don't show nothing. Who wants to see that?"
Well, that's what
not
I mean. That's
film.
What I'm saying. It's like us with Faces of Death. I know my girls, my oldest, she grew up with all the Saw movies,
right?
So now when she's looking through my collection, going, "What do you recommend, Dad? What do you want?" And I'm throwing out what I, you know, considered pretty extreme stuff. She's going, "Well, that's nothing compared to what I'm watching now."
You know, and that's what I mean. I think us as a society, we've over time have desensitized ourselves to what we're filming.
Well, I mean, I think theatrically, though, especially nowadays, things are, you know, every once in a while we'll get a Piranha 3D that sneaks in, or My Bloody Valentine that sneaks in, but really, it's just like this Last Rites movie. I boycotted it. I won't see it. I'm urging everyone to do the same, because over in Europe, it's 17 minutes longer. It was cut for us, because we're all a bunch of, apparently, we're children here. And we are everybody's parent. So because of people dropping their kids off on Friday and Saturday at KinderCare, which is now what AMC should rename itself, KinderCare Theater, we are the parents. So we can't watch R-rated horror movies anymore. They get cut to PG-13. Almost every one of them.
Well, that's because PG, the audience is the disposable income.
That's retarded, you know, though, because you and I would go see that.
Right, but they don't see that, though. They don't. They would much rather have a theater full of 150 13-year-olds than a theater full of maybe 30 to 40 18-plus-year-olds, because they know the studios don't care. They want that fast, quick
buck.
Well,
the studios, and then there's the other point, like you're saying.
And they know in 2.5 months when the right goes to DVD uncut, you'll go buy it, you know?
Well, unfortunately,
and they know that they're going to get the collector's dollar. They know that there are horror fans out there that are going to buy these films.
There's the other fact of how many of the older people have quit going to the theaters because they're tired of being stuck in with a group full of kids. Right. So they've left. So what's that leave the target group for?
Right.
Teenagers. You know,
I mean, as I myself would much rather support the small independent theater like the Screenland or the Boulevard, you know, because I don't have to deal with that. I don't have to go in and deal with cell phone lights. I don't have to.
I agree. Yeah. I also wanted you guys to think of something.
I just, you know.
This is something that really is true, you know, talking to Dave Dakota and those guys also that are still out there trying to work in this god-awful system. What happened was, even up through the 90s for the most part, about mid-90s all this started to change, early 90s, but up through that time, you would work your way up through the studio system as a producer, as a editor. You'd start taking on bigger jobs. Pretty soon the head of the studio was a guy that actually at one time or another was involved in filmmaking. He might have been a director or a producer, but he was involved.
Right.
Now the people in charge of that are guys who used to be marketing agents at Applebee's. This chick actually was a district manager at Applebee's and got a job in the studio system. What the hell does she know about making movies? Nothing. All she knows how to do is make a bottom line. So she doesn't give a damn about you and me.
And like Pete, you know, Pete's talked about it too. A lot of it has to do with disposable media. You know, now granted, horror film fans are going to pay attention to things. We're going to watch the movie. We're going to dissect things. We're going to spend $12 in the theater to see it on the big screen. But then again, 2.5, 3 months later, we're going to spend out another 15 or 16 bucks to buy it on DVD. The younger crowd today is not like really truthfully care about sitting and watching a film, because they say, well, you know, I'm just going to go hang out with my friends, bullshit, have a good time, and then I'll catch it on YouTube, or I'll find it on the internet somewhere and I'll check it out then, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, so they don't see movies like we see movies. And to be honest with you, I know I sound like my dad, you know, when I say this, and I know at the time when he told me, I thought, yeah, right, you know. But we do turn into our parents. Because I can remember when I was a kid, you know, when I went and seen the Friday the 13th movies, or I seen the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, we sit and we watch the movie. I mean, we were all kids, but we sit and watched the movie. There was nobody talking. You know, there was nobody being disruptive. Yeah, you might have had a couple of, you know, goofy comments here or there. You might hear a small snicker from when, like, a tit shot or something popped up.
Especially if it was a great movie. It was dead quiet.
Right. You know. But, you know, kids today, you know, they just don't. It just seems like they, you know, they don't care. And to me, I despise. Unless I can get in at midnight and see it, I don't care to go to the theater. I just soon save my money and wait for it to come out on video and watch it then, you know. So
I'm teetering, man. I still go. I mean, if it's something I really want to see, I'll go.
But that's why I'm fully supporting the Screenland. I mean, it's just, you know, I'd like to see them, you know, do a lot of stuff. You know, if they showed a different movie every night, you know, for 3 weeks.
Big Lebowski's playing right now.
Well, I mean, you know, if they went in and had a showing of like Black Swan, and they showed it at like 7 o'clock on Mondays and Wednesdays, And then the next week, they showed it at 7 o'clock on a Monday and Wednesday, and then the next week, a Monday and a Wednesday at 7. You know, if they had, you know, different movies playing, you know, at the same time every day, or had a, you know, a certain day that those movies played on, I'd be at the Screenland probably 90% of the time, you know, watching, you know, movies that are on a, like on a rotation. Far, far quicker than I would be at an AMC, you know, sitting and watching that fiasco.
And the crowd there's just different. I mean, it's people that are there to see the movie.
Right. You know, I mean, that's like how many people did we, when we went and seen Let the Right One In? What, there was maybe, what, 35, 40 people there?
Yeah.
And they were all
dead quiet,
you know. And let, but
it's because all the bastards fell asleep.
You better slow
down.
Easy.
I actually like that movie, but boy, it's slow paced. Wow.
But there's a difference of movies. You know, there's your watching movies, and then of course there's your, I hate to use the term grindhouse movies, but there's the movies that you laugh at and you chuckle with, or you hoot and holler. You know, the midnight movies.
And then there's the sci-fi movies.
You know. But that's just, you know, it's just the times that we're in. You know, we just have to accept. And I've come to the conclusion that I'm going to start buying everything off the internet anyway. I'm tired of not having release dates.
You won't get the son of a bitch. I'm still waiting for my wedding present.
I'm waiting. You'll get it when I get
it. I'm about ready to have you pick up Casablanca up at Hastings next time you're up there.
I got long pigs coming from Canada right now with my autograph pack of Bonafide beef jerky.
Organic.
That's sweet.
I can't wait. That looks awesome.
And I do have some updated news.
Okay.
Last week, as everybody might know who's listened to last week's episode, I was talking about the movie Video Nasties. And it's available in Europe, but not in the United States. Anyway, I'm not saying anything in stone right now, but I have been in contact with some of the people involved in the makings of Video Nasties, and they are trying to get distribution of that film in the United States. They just haven't gotten it done yet. So as soon as I find out when the movie does get distribution in the United States, you'll be the first to know. And then I'm also trying to lock down a couple of the people involved in the Video Nasties movie to become guests on the show. It's just that
they're going
to
become guests just like people transform at the full moon. Yeah, I understand.
But I'm going to try to get them on the show. It just happens to be that a lot of them are heavily involved in the
movie
industry in the United Kingdom. So their schedules are a little hectic.
Meat pies.
They're a bit medicated with some meat pies.
But as soon as I get something in stone, I'll let everybody know.
Poor guy can't even get a point across with us, Tim. We just keep on taking it out.
Set in stone.
He's set
in
Did you go to the forums page? I put the list of all 72 Video Nasty films on there.
I haven't been there.
And the full description of what films are no longer on the Video Nasties list and what films still remain on the Video Nasties list. So if you're interested in checking out those movies,
Invasion of the Blood
Farmers.
It's on Farmers.
The forum right now. So, but
very nice.
I haven't really watched anything else. I've kind of, like I said, I've had the dilemma of watching a Serbian film. I just haven't had chance to get over the crest.
I can't do it, man. I've decided, you know what? Horror movies were once something that I loved to take me away from the crap in the world. You
but
know?
I don't think this is a horror film.
It's horrifying, I'll tell you that.
But I think it's just one of those.
Who wants to be depressed? Do you really need anything else to depress you? Walk down the street, man.
It's just one of those things it's like watching, you know, Salo.
It started with Henry, man. It started with Henry.
It's just like watching Salo.
But Salo's still fake. You know what I mean? You
can
tell.
Well, this is fake, too.
This is like, like Tim said, people are really getting the shit beat out of him in this movie,
man.
Not
that. No, that's that fucking bunny movie.
Oh, is it? That Serbian movie, people, from what I read, had a really rough time on that, too, man.
Yeah, but that's just like Salo. I mean, 120 Days of Sodom.
And then,
you know,
and then do you try justifying it by the fact that he's trying to make a political point against his country?
I don't know.
I mean, it's like,
it's still not entertainment. It's just, who wants, it's
depressing.
Not, it is. I don't want to be depressed anymore. I want to, you know what, I want to go watch Slithus,
like,
you know?
It's like when Nellie Olson grew up on Little Prairie, man. Nobody wants to see that. I want to see her with the ringlets and the white dresses.
Man, that's what it's all about. You know, go see Humanoids from the Deep again. Bring that back.
That's, yeah, but you want something that kind of pushes that envelope.
Well, then let's go out and watch. Let's do something good like Dead Alive. Just do something that pushes the envelope
I've
in that direction.
I've seen Dead Alive.
I know. Well, let's create more stuff like that. Something that's
I'm not against stuff like that, but something I want.
Human
something...
suffering, man. Come on. Let's have monster movies again.
That's
you kind of miss
that's him? What Ned Beatty's butthole's for.
And the silence hits the room.
Ned Beatty's butthole.
Ned Beatty.
Well, hell, I can't. You know, I can't complain. I had a weird double feature. Do you guys see my double feature last night? I posted up there. I had a weird double feature. The Beyond, Fulci, of course,
right?
With Last of the Mohicans with Daniel Day-Lewis. But you know what? Both of those movies I love for separate reasons. But watching Last of the Mohicans and The Beyond together really kind of bummed me out because it makes me realize those movies had atmosphere. They had gorgeous cinematography, great music. In the case of Last of the Mohicans, as a filmmaker, it's like, my God, it's a postcard.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
He was great in that movie. He should have been the Superman. He should have played Superman in that era.
You know, you're a filmmaker, so you notice stuff like that. And I'm not knocking that, but you notice cinematography.
He just sees people in buckskin running around in the woods.
No, when I watch a horror film or I watch a sci-fi film or a fantasy film, I focus on that. But to me, if I was to watch Last of the Mohicans,
it's a great movie.
I'd watch it, and then I'd kind of lose interest and go do something and come back. You know,
You don't know though. You've never
comedies,
seen
comedies, dramas. You know, I have kung fu movies.
I love those.
I have dramas. I have comedies in my collection. But I don't watch them like I do a horror film. I don't watch them like I do a sci-fi film or a fantasy film for some reason. Just because those aren't the genres of movies, you know, that I really like. I mean, I enjoy them when I watch them. But to me, it's not something that I have to, you know, sit and watch over and over and over again. I watch them because, you know, they're entertaining. But it's just...
You know what my double feature was last night?
What?
House by the Cemetery.
Yes.
Bride of Reanimator.
Oh, those are... Now, look at both of those movies. Atmosphere, man. That's what I miss.
What do those two have in common?
Well, they got a lot in common.
Bats, man.
Of course.
Bats.
Of course. But they got a lot in common other than that, too.
Bats.
They got the crazed doctor doing unknown experiments in the basement. I mean, come on.
Bats.
Bats are great. But let me tell you something cool about what you're talking about.
Which bat did you like better out of those two?
What do you mean, which bat?
The brown chihuahua bat that was rubber banded to the Italian mistro's wrist, or the one with the duck bill with the big giant toothpick teeth from Bride of Reanimator?
I actually liked the one in House by a Cemetery.
Me too.
Better. Yeah,
just because he stabs it in the eye and then it bleeds from five different.
Well, it like shoots 7,000 gallons of blood out of one little body, and it's not a real bat, of course, but it's so funny to watch him do that.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
I can't even remember what I watched last night when I went to bed.
But I have to ask you, you're on an interesting subject here. Let me ask you guys. This is something I'm sure your friends out there listening would like to know. You know, when you watch a horror movie nowadays, don't you miss the atmosphere? It's all shaky cam commercial director assholes. Why do they keep giving these guys horror movies?
Cold storage isn't.
Oh, I believe that. Yeah, that's probably why the reviewer said it was boring because they probably were raised
crap. It is slow, but it's got great atmosphere.
And
that's what I loved about it.
90% of all the movies that I buy now are movies
from the 70s and 80s,
right?
Aren't
they? That are being re-released, like the Corman stuff. And the only time, honestly, I mean,
House of the Devil, I thought had atmosphere and
but
stuff like that.
The thing about it is, you know, I do this. I do the radio show. It's not like I go home and have boxes and boxes of screeners waiting for me every day, you know. So I don't know that, you know, for one, I don't go to the theater anymore, you know. And the publications that I read all basically have to do with older movies. So I don't know 90% of the new stuff that's coming out, because 90% of it mostly is a remake or it's some shitty, you know, preteen twink, you know, horror deal that I'm really not interested in. And if by chance something does come in under the radar, it's usually Tim that's telling me about it. You know, I'll get a call from him on a Tuesday or Wednesday, and he's like, dude, have you ever been on YouTube and seen so-and-so? I was like,
Cold
no.
Storage.
He's like, dude, you need to see this fucked up. I'm like, really, what's going on? You know, and that's how I hear about new shit, you know, is usually because of him, because he's usually the one that goes in.
And I'll watch everything. You know, I watch everything new, but I got to tell you, it's usually like, 7 out of 10 are crap, and then you get those 3 that are pretty good. One of them is, like, great. Like, I loved – a lot of people didn't like it as much, but I liked Babysitter 1 for the atmosphere. And I liked House of the Devil for the atmosphere. And I even liked The Roost for the atmosphere.
You want to talk atmosphere? You know what we just I watched with my daughter the other night?
What's that?
When a Stranger Calls.
Oh, dude, that is something
else. Is there a better intro to a movie ever? Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. That is the creepiest – I've watched it 50 times, probably.
Right.
And I still get goosebumps.
But what's
it's just a guy on a fucking phone.
Right. But what's not in that movie?
CGI.
Well, no. You don't.
It's got Charles Durning in it.
You don't really. You don't have tits.
It's just you know.
You know, and you don't.
It starts out so quick. You know, obviously, there's no way to keep that pace. But that first 20 minutes.
And I'm not saying I'm not a fan of over. Exaggerated blood and guts. I mean,
it has its place. I love it. I get up, you know, last night, like I said, I watched that double wham. You're not going to get much gore.
You know, I mean, I was, you know, the first time I had seen, was it Beware of the Werewolf? The Amicus movie?
The Werewolf Moon?
No, the Amicus film where you got to pick out who's the fucking werewolf. Isn't it, Todd? What is it? Isn't it Beware of the Wolf?
Oh, Beware of, or what are you talking about?
The Amicus movie where
the Beast Must Die?
Yeah, The Beast Must Die.
Yeah.
You know, I seen that movie when I was a kid. Totally had forgotten about it. Got the Amicus box set through Dark Sky. Put it in. Was like 37 years old on the edge of the couch one night watching it. I just grabbed it, threw it in, didn't think of anything of it. I'm sitting there, and at the end it stops. You know, you now have 2 minutes to make your guess who is the werewolf, you know, who, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, this is the greatest fucking thing ever, you know. And I'm sitting here going back saying, well, who could it be? Who could, you know, is it him? No. You know, and there was, you know, not a lot of blood. Hardly in a tit.
Same note, Sardonicus.
Oh, yeah. You know, great.
Do we let him suffer?
Yeah.
We let him?
You know. Yeah. And there's just no more showmanship in movies. I mean, like William Castle had all the little quirky things to go along with the movies, you know.
That's what needs to be done at the Screenland when they show Maniac, is every seat needs to be equipped with an exploding head that pops up and erupts.
They ought to just go out and just get about 15 fucking trash cans.
Gallons of blood. Dump
just trash everywhere.
They're red seats. They can get some fake blood on it.
But, yeah, it's just, you know.
Back to Cold Storage for a second. When you're watching it, a $900,000 budget. Unbelievable.
Yep.
That's crazy cool.
$900,000.
Yep, so all of the but you know, like I said before, Todd, I think a lot of that has to do with us older horror fans. I think a lot of us, you know, it's just like me. I was lucky enough, you know, to be born in a family, you know, that still went to the drive-in when I was young. So I got drugged to the drive-in, so I got to experience a lot of those movies, you know, first run. You know, and then like I said, my dad was still young enough to where he introduced me to the Hammer stuff, and he introduced me to, like, the classic Universal stuff and the Adam Age stuff. And, you know, unless your parents are horror sci-fi fans, a lot of kids aren't exposed to movies like that anymore. You know, they don't know, you know. So, you know, it's just a lost thing. You know, you just have to assume that, you know, they're just like, you know, those people were back in the day when they weren't exposed to it.
Well, when you have Tracy Morgan on Scare Tactics, that's really all they need to teach them about horror movies.
Scare Tactics. Let's not get Todd started with Tracy Morgan.
You better not, man. Don't even mention that name in the studio. I'm going to have a no Tracy Morgan sign.
But, yeah, just...
That dirty bastard.
I know it gets frustrating at times, but...
I'm frustrated right now. Tracy Morgan. Tracy fucking Morgan.
That's why when we have the opportunity to go see movies like Maniac at the Screenland, March 25th and the 26th, we need to be out there both days and see it multiple times. You know?
I'm going to watch it from the time it starts to the time they get rid of it. I'm just going to do a marathon.
You just stay there, get you a sleeping bag. And
Do it on.
But we will.
I am pretty excited.
Definitely
about that.
Be there. So.
And I'm going to try to, I guess I'm going to do some self-promoting, even though I have no direct contact with the Screenland. I'm going to take it amongst myself to make some miniature posters and try to smother as much as the Kansas City metropolitan area that I can, just to try to see if we can't get at least one show sold out to where more people would like to, you know, because Grindhouse Releasing is putting Maniac into the theater, so hopefully they might put Pieces in there, or they might put The Beyond in there, or they might put Cannibal Holocaust in there, or, you know, they might put one of those other great horror films in there right after that if they're profitable on this one. So, got to stand by and support. Support.
If you build it, they will come.
If you show it, they will come. Heck, I would like to even maybe play around with the idea of maybe getting a couple of copies of some movies and having our own, you know, double feature midnight show one time somewhere, you know, see, I mean, hell, there's a ton of movies I'd like to see on the big screen in 35 or 16 millimeter. I mean, hell, if I have to, I'll put them up there myself and watch them. So if you want to come watch them. If not, you're lost.
You know? Get to the Boulevard, man.
Well, that's what I mean. You know,
what did we see? The bodies, Corpse Grinders and Zombie.
We've seen Zombie at the Boulevard. We've seen the Corpse Grinders. And then we've seen
that
some
great,
Asian
man. And
Asian
there was a ton of people there.
It was sold out. I mean, yeah, it was packed. You know, it was harder than hell to stay awake during that Asian film, but fuck, it was only because we've been up for
all day and all night. We stood in line so we'd be the first people there.
You know, and we've seen Evil Dead down there at the Mission Theater. So, I mean, that's been good.
Hell, I remember when they played Dead Alive at the Tivoli. That place was freaking packed. There was people standing in the back.
Yeah, I think we can, you know, promote it. Like I said, I'm going to take it upon myself to get some posters made up. And, you know, if anybody wants some posters that's listening to us in the Kansas City metro area, get a hold of me on Facebook or go to the forum and leave me a note and an address. And if you guys want to put out some flyers for us, I'll send you some.
Or you know what they could do?
You know.
They could call 310-928-7857.
But it's not going to do you any good because this is a recorded show.
And tell Todd what your name and address is and we'll mail you out those flyers.
When we get them made, because we don't have any made yet. We're still waiting on them to be made. So
we got
to
get paid.
Got to get paid. Back. Yeah.
We got trips.
Flying
about.
But really, there's nothing even slated to come out, you know, worth a shit.
What? What just came out today?
Hey, man, the new Right. Jason Statham's The Mechanic came out, too. But The Right, like I was saying, it's PG-13. It's been cut.
There's only one Mechanic, buddy, and it's fucking Charles Bronson.
You know what? Jason Statham is great.
You need to stop.
He's great.
No.
I'm going to tell you right now, if Sylvester Stallone gets the green light and does a fucking death wish.
Hey, you know what? I'm waiting for either Tracy Morgan or Tyler Perry to remake a Fred Williamson movie. Let's put Tracy Morgan as
Tracy
Hammer.
Morgan is Dolemite.
There. There's your Jason Statham. You want your Jason Statham Mechanic movie? I'll give you your Tracy Morgan.
You know, the only thing
Fred
about
the Hammer,
you know,
remake movie.
The only thing about here. That I am interested is Donald Sutherland's in it. So you know, you got some credibility right there.
That's what we need. We need Tracy Morgan to be the new Fred the Hammer Williamson. That's who we need. Start remaking those movies, and Todd will be all kinds of happy. Hell Comes to Harlem with Tracy Morgan.
Get out of here. Why are you trying to pick a fight? Turn around and look behind you, blasphemer.
Was Tracy Morgan in the Fat Albert movie?
No.
No, that was Kenan the kid Thompson? From Good Burger.
I know Kenan Thompson.
I like Kenan.
Wasn't he the one with the ba-doo, 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 ba-doo?
No. He played Fat Albert.
Who? Kenan. No, Tracy Morgan.
Tracy Morgan wasn't Fat Albert.
Was he the other guy? Mushmouth.
I don't know. I can't remember. I never seen it.
Todd?
Yeah, what?
Wasn't Tracy Morgan in Fat Albert?
I hope not. I don't remember. I never watched Fat Albert, but even though I like Keenan because I felt like it was an abomination. It was an abomination.
What?
The original cartoon was brilliant, man.
I liked it. I watched that movie 5-6 times. I don't remember Tracy.
Well, since you said that, I will watch it.
You probably didn't like Good Burger either, did you?
Yes, I did.
All right.
I love Keenan, dude, but I was just upset because I felt, you know, like it was a watered-down version.
I was depressed, man, because I love Good Burger. I watched the show they had. My kids loved that show on Nickelodeon with him and the other little crazy guy eating, drinking the orange soda all the time. He's a turd on Saturday Night Live. He's been on Saturday Night Live for I don't know how many years. And for some reason, they've taken all the funny out of him.
That's the writers. The writers suck on Saturday Night Live.
I don't know,
Live.
Though, man. He's still the goofy fat kid. I mean, he's pretty much trying to do Farley's part now, and he's just failing miserably. I don't know. I guess it's like when they brought in Silverman and was it Christopher Guest on Saturday Night Live for a while? And I mean, he just flopped.
Yeah, but that's all the writers. I mean, you can only do, I mean, you know, a lot of the times it's, you know, they can come up with good stuff, but if it's not picked, you know, how do you know what's funny and what's not? You know, you're basically just going off of other people's taste. You know, so who knows?
The right. PG-13.
The right.
They cut 16 minutes out of that?
It's like, I think it was 17,
what?
Actually.
I just want to know what the fucking deal is with possession movies all of a sudden. Are we going back through that again, man?
They're moneymakers.
The Baptists control this country, dude. What do you think?
We need some possession movies.
That's their kind of horror film.
I'm going to go see it. I love Anthony Hopkins. And I like Exorcism.
I do too,
movies.
But I won't pay money to see something that's neutered for us. I will wait and get it on the Blu-ray or the DVD for, you know,
I'm
so
just
going to
download it illegally and get the unrated version.
There you go.
Take that, MPAA. What you think about your rules now, funny man?
I don't know if I've got anything on my list that I'm looking for other than just old stuff. I mean, that I need to pick up here and there. I know there's nothing slated come out anytime soon on DVD that's worth a fuck that I can think of.
I just bought mine for $4. Cold Storage, made for $900,000. God, them freaking crab cakes. My God.
You shit.
You had the crab cakes at Long John Silver's? Oh, my goodness.
No.
Oh, hell, he just shit his pants.
I just made a crabby patty.
We got Todd's pointing at the sky again. We got to wrap it up, I guess.
Looking for nub.
Looking for nub and all the mom paid it.
See, they should do that. They could do the little rascals grown up, and Tracy Morgan could be Buckwheat.
Have you seen the footage of Buckwheat being shot? Well, let's take a look.
Oh no!
I'm hurt and confused, and I don't know what to say. No comment.
See, again, you want to talk about sucking the funny out of somebody. What the fuck happened to Eddie Murphy?
Too many fucking fat
God,
suits.
God, man. And I loved him. And I mean, I'll watch him in 15 different fat roles, but my Lord, Norbit.
Fucking Disney got a hold of him and made them fucking family-friendly movies. So
it's been. I like Daddy Daycare. That was a good one.
All righty, I'm getting the wrap up fingers from Todd. So I guess that takes care of another week and another episode of More Horror Than Horror. So like I said, if you're on iTunes, go to jackaloperadio.com. Check us out on the forums page. Get a hold of us on Facebook under the Mighty Griff or
just
Tim McClaws.
And look at our new picture.
Look at our new pictures. Yes.
Look at our new pictures done by the magnificent Shane.
I got to get that ready so I can upload that.
It's
man.
Already yes. on there, buddy. It's already on your thing.
We are unveiling new artwork for our show logo. So go to More Horror Than Horror on Facebook. Join us. And if you know of anything new, tell us on our forums page.
Bye, you son of a bitch. We're late.
Bye.
More Horror Than Horror with your host, the Mighty Griff.